Well, I tell you what, people think that the body of Christ shouldn't have fun. You got to come to church and be dead. Tell you what, I went to a wedding last night. I leaned over to my dad, looked up there, and I said, "You see that group? They're all dancing. They're having a good time, and they ain't had one drop of alcohol." It was my kids. To and include my grandkids. But praise God. We're allowed to have fun. We're allowed to dance and rejoice. If you know who God is. Man, I tell you what, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Y'all thinking all this corona, it's bad. No, I think corona's a good thing right now. It's putting the sports heroes back in their place. As much as I wanted to watch Ohio State whoop Michigan. If you're a Michigan fan, I'm sorry that you chose. No. But it's putting God back in priority. I have been saying it for nearly 20 years. If you look in history and you follow society, and when they put their entertainment, their sports, their philosophers, when they put them before God, they fell. The nations fell. This is a little bit of mercy for the United States, in my opinion, that the church can put God back. Because there's churches, they can't say what I just said. Because they'd have a division line right down the middle. Ohio State, Michigan. Doesn't matter. It's just entertainment is all that it all is. In the end, it doesn't matter. It's about God. As long as we have things in priority, I think we'll see God move in this country like we've never seen before. But praise God. I'm going to bless the tithe and offering this morning. But I'm also going to pray. The Lord was dealing with me this morning, even last night, that to pray. We're going to pray Psalm 91 again over. Because I'm going to tell you what, here's what I'm, I'm not going to make a prediction, I don't really do that, but I see a surge coming in numbers. Whether people are really sick or not is immaterial, you're going to see more. And we're going to continue to stand, because God is still on the throne. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord God, we thank you that you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the great I am. Now, Father, right now we stand on your word in Psalm 91 that said that no evil shall come near us. Though 1,000 may fall at our right and 10,000, or 1,000 by our left and 10,000 by our right, no harm shall come near me. So, Father, we stand on that right now in the name of Jesus, and we rebuke all sickness and disease. We curse it in Jesus' name. Father, we stand as a beacon, as a light unto the darkness of this world. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving right now through this country. And now, Lord, I thank you for your people. I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Now, Father, I bless this tithe and offering. Lord God, I pray that you move heaven and earth to cause your words to stand true forever. And the promises that we would bring our tithe and we'd bring our offering in, you would bless it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated this morning. Super Kids can be dismissed. Well, praise God. You know, Michelle, I got to thinking, you have another one. No matter if boy or girl, the nickname's going to have to be Goose. You already thought about it. Yeah, you can't have Maverick and not have Goose. Got to have the wingman. Oh, praise God. Well, I tell you what. God is on the move in this country. And he's on the move because we are still here, the body of Christ. You know, this morning I'm going to start on a message. But, you know, through my life, I've answered to many, many names. How many of y'all answered more than one name? Okay. Sometimes it hasn't exactly been a flattering name. You know, even today, if somebody yells, "Hey, you," depending on the tone of their voice determines the tone I turn around in. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know, don't look at me at that tone of voice. But I've answered to Arthur, and on the very rare occasions, you know, I was such an angelic child, "Arthur Dale, get in here." I've answered to Private. I've answered to Lance Corporal. I've answered to Corporal. I've answered to Marine. I've answered to "Hey, you." I will not answer to "Idiot." I've answered to Pastor, Husband, Dad, Brother, Friend. I answer to a lot of names, but I'm still the same person. And all of those names dictate a relationship. Those closest call me Dad, Husband, Son. That's the immediate circle. Grandpa. We think he's saying Grandpa. But it all depends on the relationship. I've been in crowds walking through the store and I'll heard somebody yell, "Hey, Marine." How many other Marines could there be in Lowe's? And I turn around and there's Kyle Carnegie. It just depends on how you know somebody. How do you know God? Well, you know, he's God. You know, the word God is a generic term in reality. It really is. Look at your Bible. If we had a Hebrew Bible in here, and by the way, it would not have the New Testament in it, but it would not say God anywhere. There's a word that they use besides God. So in our English vernacular, it is a generic term. And, you know, as I was started studying in all this, I started seeing that even some of the names we've given to God have been generic, but the name God identified himself with was something else. And it's actually caused a lot of problems for people because they can't comprehend who God really is. You know, I remember the old Carmen song from years ago about Sundays on the Way, and the saints had gone and they were sitting around the table and they were talking about God and how they knew him. Ezekiel said, "I knew him as a wheel within a wheel," you know, in the song. And they started telling them how they knew God. One is a deliverer, one is a lawgiver, one is a mighty warrior. They each recognized God and they knew God by another name. They saw a facet of God that they recognized with. And they were all absolutely correct. You may see God as Daddy. You may see God as Mighty Warrior. You may see God Deliverer, Healer, Comforter. He is all those things. But there's one name. Exodus, nothing's going to come up on the screen today, because I'll be honest with you. You know, usually I have a sticky note with two or three scriptures. There's the first page. There's two more behind it, and that's not just getting into Leviticus. But God, in the very beginning, all we see is God. You got to remember, the book of Genesis was written by Moses. So we don't even know what Adam called God. Wouldn't that be something to know? What did the first man call the one who created him. It's interesting. But he obviously had a close relationship with him, that every day God would come down and talk with him. That God moving through the garden, I can only imagine the sound. You know, I don't think it was just a rustle of leaves. I think there was such an entourage that went with God. I mean, come on, you bring the Queen of England to the United States, there's going to be an entourage like you wouldn't believe. I saw a documentary the other night on this cult group that hit Oregon back in 1981. Some guru from India. He was getting pretty much run out for taxes and stuff over there, so they decided to move to Oregon, out to Antelope, Oregon, population 40. He was wanting to build, he bought an 80,000 acre ranch, was going to build a city and put 50,000 people just like him in it. And but these people, 40 people in this town. So look around, this is your town. They start seeing people wearing orange and such, and they start seeing them bring in trucks and double wides, and they're building this city. But when this guy shows up in an armored Rolls Royce limo, these people rolled out the red carpet. And they just sat there and cried, full-grown men crying. Now, ain't nothing wrong with crying for the right reason. But because some guru has come up and said, you know, you just need to scream, and that's helping you. So I'll agree, there's days you need to go out behind the barn and just yell and let it out. By the way, that's called a battle cry. People don't get it. I never understood in boot camp what the word, why we said, yut. I thought, that is the dumbest thing. I'm never going to say it. But boy, it let some aggression out. But anyhow, they made such a big deal about this guy coming. How about the King of Kings? And Adam heard that sound, and fear hit his heart because he had sinned. So God spent that time on implementing the plan of salvation of Jesus Christ. So we don't even know what name Adam knew God by. All we know is how he introduced himself to a man named Abraham. Abraham was born in Mesopotamia, pretty much Kuwait. And his father was an idol worshiper. And one day, God got Abraham's attention. If you want to know how to get a relationship with God, you've got to seek God. You've got to seek God. You've got to turn. Moses did not know this God. But here's this bush burning. Now, I don't know about y'all, but it wasn't being consumed. That's the problem. Spontaneous combustion in a dry desert, I could get that. But it's not being consumed. And it wasn't until Moses turned that God spoke to him. We've got to turn to know who God is. Now, like I said, you just kind of hang on. If you want to write down the references, go feel free. But in Genesis 15:1, God introduced himself to Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I am is who he introduced himself as. I know, that's just I just don't get it. I'm going to fast forward just a little bit. We'll hit it again here. But in Exodus 3:14, when Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? And he says, I am that I am has sent you. In other words, I be, is exactly how it breaks down. I be, or in our language, I will be who or what I will be. I will be your provider. I will be the fire at night. I will be the cloud. I will be the wind that blows the land dry. I will be your shield, Abraham. At this point, Abram. I will be your shield. Now, we've talked about armor. We understand a little bit about shields. You hold a shield up to protect you. The problem with the shield, holding it up, you can't see what's coming at you. And God said, I will be that. So you don't have to face alone the stuff coming at you. He'll be there to protect you. Your exceedingly great reward. In 15:7, he's, I am the Lord who brought you out. I am the Lord who brought. The Lord, by the way, the word Lord is Adonai. It means master, ruler. I am the ruler who brought you out of idolatry. Out of the, you need to understand at this time, this is Abraham's father, according to some of the other writings of Jewish tradition, Abraham's father served Nimrod. Now, only a few people, I know anybody, who all knows who Nimrod was? Okay, there's a few of you. He was a great king. He's given credit for the Tower of Babel. He was a long time. But there was a prophecy given that somebody was going to be his undoing. And so he started killing people trying to find it. Does that sound familiar? And this person turned out to be Abraham. Abraham was sent away to live with his great uncle, a man known by Shem. And in your Bible, he's also known by another name, Melchizedek, the king of Salem. The one who went through the flood. Where do you think he learned about God from? It takes somebody. How many of you learned about God from a grandparent or a parent? Somebody telling you about it? A lot of us. My mom, she knew. My family, it's a wonder any of us know who God is, because it was just one person usually. There's a bunch of heathens. But my great-grandmother would take my mom to church. She'd go spend the night. She lived right down the road in the little town they lived in. And she'd take her to church when she was a little girl. And my mom remembers that. Unfortunately, back then, she didn't know any different, but it was one of those churches I've talked about in the South. They have a special box under the seat. You want to test your faith? Pick up a rattlesnake. They still taught about God, but that part, they're off base. And he said, I'm the God. I'm the God that brought you out of that. I'm the God that saved you. In 17:1, he introduces, I am the Almighty God. Almighty, Shaddai. We sing that, we know that. It's actually Shaddai, but we know it as El Shaddai. And it means almighty, but it comes from a word that means to be burly, powerful, impregnable. In other words, God can't be stopped. You know, usually if you watch on Disney's a great one for this analogy, they always put the guy who's contending for a girl's heart. The princess is a big, burly. What was the Beauty and the Beast? What's his name? No, not the Beast. The guy. Gaston. Gaston. That's the image that is being portrayed here, is of Gaston, this big, burly guy, hairy chest, hairy arms, built like this and all that stuff. That's the image. However, that image is so full of holes, because it's not usually that guy who wins. God can't be defeated. In 26:24, we're still in Genesis, that God, he says, I am the God of Abraham. Now he's talking to Jacob, and he's at Beersheba. He says, I am the God of Abraham. Do not fear. He's now introducing himself to Abraham's son. Or as you were, his grandson. 28:13, again, I am the Lord God of Abraham. This is now Jacob at Bethel. And in 28:15, he says, I am with thee, and I will not leave you. I am. I be with you. I'm not going anywhere. What do you need? What do you need me to be? Do you need me to be a doctor? Do you need me to be a nurse? Do you need me to be your protector? Do you need me to be your financier? We started this ministry and we've lived with the philosophy, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. I'm not begging. That's all there is to it. 35:11, God, I am God Almighty. And this is when Jacob returns back to Bethel. So he keeps addressing himself. He comes to him and says, I am. He introduces himself when he walks into a room. If God were to walk into the room in human form, he would say, I am. And you would know. Here's an interesting thing. I want to bring this up in my Bible. Did anybody ever wonder why God had it in for Pharaoh? Seems to be an honest question. Come on, Nimrod thought he was God too. Then I saw something. Whoops, I'm in the wrong book. But in Genesis 41... In 44, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. What did he just do? He just took the name of Almighty. Now, the word Pharaoh, I've looked this up, cannot find any actual translation of the word. And the best that they can figure that the word Pharaoh means is light or great house. There's no singular word that describes Pharaoh. The word possible compound, and rather it's a generic term like king. So he wasn't satisfied with being the king. He now says, I am. Now I know that sounds like petty, but you need to understand, these pharaohs did not start becoming gods because the people really thought they were gods. They thought they were gods. Well, I'm chosen. You know, that's why we had a tea party, right? In this country? Because King George thought he was a little mightier than he should be. And we said, no more. Nimrod thought the same thing. Most kings, if you read in your Bible, once you get after Solomon and David, a lot of the kings got really goofy. But Pharaoh thought, and he started speaking and acting like he was God. Now, in 46, verse 3, I am God, the God of thy father. This is speaking to Jacob. I want you to know something. This is the last time it's recorded that God spoke to man. It's the last time recorded in the Old Testament before the children of Israel went into slavery. Now, something else you need to understand about this time is the time began right after God told Abraham it would be 400 years. Okay, that time actually began right then. And then, because they were actually in slavery for, they estimate 200 to 120 years, somewhere in there. is what they were actually oppressed in slavery. They were a stranger in another man's land, but then they became oppressed during the later part of it. So we have the 400 total years from that point till the next point God speaks. And that's in Exodus 3:6. Moses is being introduced to God. He said, I am the God of thy father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's now introducing who he is because they don't know. God has not spoken to man, we'll go at least 120 years. I can tell you right now, we have nobody in here 120 years old. That's a long time to go without hearing from God. So it's no wonder that God had to say, I am. They understood who I am was. There were still people that were trying to keep that faith, but they didn't know who he was. He had not been revealed to them because they did not have a personal relationship. And the scary part is, ladies and gentlemen, they could have kept that personal, they could have had the same relationship Abraham had. Now, he says, I am come to deliver. He says, I'm your deliverer. You need a deliverer. I am that. I'm your deliverer. Then the next time is, I am that I am. I will be who or what I will be. I will be who you need, Sherry. I'm going to be that to you. You know, all those years that you were raising your kids alone, he was there with you. When you were in the jungle, he was your protector. He will be who he will be to you, who you need him to be right then. He's been a father. He's been a protector. He's been an advisor. He's been a friend. And on occasion, he's been the one to slap me back into reality. Amen. We need that. He's the only one who can do that, and we don't really get bent out of shape about it. Exodus 6:2, he says, I am the Lord. He's reminding Moses and Pharaoh who he is. In verse 3, God is telling Moses, he said, I was known as God Almighty, not Jehovah. Now, this is the introduction to the word Jehovah as calling God Jehovah. Because now we're starting to move into a time of religion. Before, God was not religion. We still have a perverse form of the relationship with God. Your relationship with God is not in here. It's in here. It's out there. It's when you're at home. It's when you're in the store, when you're driving. He has not left you. He said, I will not leave you. He's not a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of dad. He doesn't leave his children alone. If he asks you to go through the valley of the shadow of death, guess who's going with you? God. David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because David knew God as my fortress, as my shield, my buckler. David understood where the shadow was being created by. You got to have light for a shadow, right? In that valley, there's a shadow of death. David said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He didn't leave him. He knew he was there. David knew who God was. And David was a man who'd been betrayed. He betrayed people too. I'm not going by any means say David was this perfect type of person. Absolutely not. But he does show us the compassion of God and the mercy of God. Something many people today have forgotten who God is. God's not waiting to kill this world. He wants all people. If you ever wonder, is it God's will for all people to be saved? Yes. The word says he is not willing that any should perish. He's not. It's not his will. It is his will that all people come to know who he is and receive Jesus Christ. In 6:6, he says, I am the Lord. He is now introducing himself to the children, the Hebrew children. I am the Lord. Again, the same thing in 6:8. He keeps identifying himself as the mighty. I am mighty. In 6:29, he's having to throw a little encouragement to Moses. You know, Moses, what was the first thing? Oh, Lord, I'm not of eloquent speech. Anybody ever tried to get out of something from God? God, I can't do that. I'm the least of my... I'm the runt of the family. That's okay. I'll be with you. I'll hold your hand. He told Moses, you know, Moses said, well, I have a speech. I'm not of great speech. Okay, use Aaron. Has anybody actually read the account looking for that? I only see maybe twice where Aaron spoke. Every other time, it's Moses. We don't always want to do what God wants us to do. I mean, come on. Seriously? The last time you saw a man, he said, if I ever see you again, I'll kill you. And he wasn't just blowing smoke. He meant he was going to kill him. 40 years later, he knew the guy still was holding a grudge. Moses did not want to go back to Egypt. He really did not want to see this man again, let alone go in there and say, let my people go. Who said this? I am. Who's I am? I'm the Pharaoh. I will be the king. I will be the light giver. I will be the great house. I think that's hilarious. Once you start reading into the breakdown of the possibilities of the word, they think it comes from Ra, which is their sun god, and a few other things meaning great house. In my father's house are many mansions. In my father's house. So it means his house is great. God is light. There is no darkness in God. He could turn and you'd never know it because there's no dark side. Speak unto Pharaoh, 7:5, that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. The Egyptians were also descendants of one of the sons of Noah. I think Ham or Japheth. I don't remember which one. It wasn't Shem. But these people had come out and they started declaring that they were this great race. They were better than everybody else. Listen, racism didn't start just 10, 20 years ago or 100 or 200 years ago. There have been people eliminated, their history eliminated. It is believed, I know I've talked to Joe about this in times past, about trying to find out who the Pharaoh was at the time of the Exodus. Well, it's almost darn near impossible. They're guessing, for the most part, what I've figured out. And they've got a few, but the one that they think might have been that Joseph would have met, or would have been one of the shepherd kings. And that there was a dynasty change in between there, and that's what happened. And why didn't they remember all this stuff? Because when they went in, they would destroy whatever was a likeness of that king. They'd scratch his name out of the temples, and they'd carve over it. They'd do whatever. They eliminated them. Or they would take, and the church has done this, they would take the statue that was supposed to be this, and they would say that is now me. So everybody thought, oh, wow, that's the new king. Or they come off with some cockamamie story that they were descended from Ra. There's just so much stuff that God was against. And listen, when we start thinking that we are higher and mightier than God, we take our lives into our own hands. Okay? Pride will bring us down every time. Pride. We're more popular than Jesus. Do you remember? Y'all remember who said that? He wasn't the only one that said something stupid like that. There was another gal. She said something. You saying God? I'm just saying you need to understand God is still God. He is still holy. We haven't even gotten to that stuff yet. He's vengeful as well. Disturbed has nothing on the vengeful one. He is vengeful. But he does not want to hurt mankind. But when mankind crosses that line, we have to get smacked back. I have to think that God was talking to John, the whole time. Because if I remember right, and Justin sitting back here, he's discovered who the Beatles were. But Justin, weren't they introduced at a church function? How many of y'all knew that? They were introduced at a church function. So guess what? They had some churching. But pride over the years started pulling them away, and they started listening to philosophies of men. They started getting into this New Age garbage. Yes, it's all about love, ladies and gentlemen, but we're not talking about the hippie love. We're not talking about the stuff that doesn't last. That love does not last. The love we're talking about here is, one, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son first. Well, I don't see that, why didn't he give Jesus up, way back then? He did. The Bible says Jesus was slain from the foundations of the earth. In other words, God knew what was going to happen already. Don't ask me why all this stuff. My education in that stops about right here. I don't claim to be so smart that I'm sitting high on top of a mountain. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to challenge God. I've seen the mighty hand of God move. I know who God is. I've seen the God who protects me. I've seen the God who provides for me. I've seen the God who delivers. I've seen the God who loves me. You know, the more I've thought about it the last several weeks about God's protection. Things still happen sometimes, okay? And I'll tell you right now, the thing that happened in October, that tree falling on me, was my fault. I disobeyed God. He said to cut that tree down first. I said, no, it'll be in the way of the other one. It was going to come down, but how many of you heard of poison ivy vines breaking the entire tree? Limbs, yes. The entire tree, why? Because God knew the devil was going to try to kill me. Every time I talked to my doctor, he said, you dodged a bullet. You are so lucky. No, I just serve a good God who protected me. Sometimes it takes a tree hitting you in the back of the head and breaking your back to smack a little sense into you. what I'm here to tell you, folks, one, when he tells you to do something simple, do it his way. Works out a whole lot better. Always does. We have got to spend our time getting to know who God is. Read his word. You'll see that God was the entire time trying to steer the hearts of the people back to him so that he could show them. We're going to look at more later. I'm not going to get into all of it today. As I said, there are over 300 times that I am is used in the Bible. 300 times. And we're going to get into the New Testament on this because Jesus used it and things happened. The people, we'll read about this here shortly and we'll get into it because we're not far from it. When he said, come up to the mountain, I want all of you, come up. Come up and meet me like Moses has. Wouldn't that be phenomenal? He said, come up and be in my midst. You need to understand that mountain is still black. God met with Moses. God, when Moses came down, the people couldn't look at him. He glowed. It's like God's nuclear or something. He came down glowing. And they actually had to cover him up because they couldn't look at him. It was so bright. That's awesome. And God wanted to meet them. And they said, no, we're afraid. Dude! One person would go. Joshua. And if you know anything about your Bible, you know who Joshua is. Later led Israel into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. But the word Joshua is Yeshua, Jesus' rightful name. But he went and he met God. That's why he was able to go and said, yes, we are like ants to them. They're powerful, they're mighty, they're organized. They don't fight amongst themselves as much as we do. But it's not about us, it's about God. It's about God who just got us out of Egypt. Do you realize this? Do you realize God told Abraham, your children will leave captivity? But they will leave wealthy. Y'all remember the story of the Exodus? They left wealthy. And I'm beginning to think God is the one that created the word borrow, the way we interpret the word borrow. Hey, can I borrow that? 10 years later, hey, you still got that? Oh, yeah. Because he said, go borrow from your neighbor. And they gave them everything. Why? Because God had just showed them who he was if they were not willing. At the very onset, they had the opportunity. But they were so bent that they were the best. They thought so highly of themselves, they would not raise sheep. That's why we know it was a different sect that came in, because they looked down upon the shepherd tribes. And that's why they had the land of Goshen, because it was good for grazing. God took care of them in that. There's a whole bunch more in there I could tell you about what took place and some of that from other writings. But you will only know God if you spend time talking to him. Pour your heart out. What do you got to lose? Anxiety, fear, low self-esteem, pride, arrogance. And by the way, just so you know, pride and arrogance usually hold hands with low self-esteem. I know it sounds crazy. Everybody says, oh, the rich, they're so prideful. Listen, I know quite a few people that have money, and they are some of the most generous people you would ever want to meet. The greedy ones, well, they're the ones with 20 cars piled up in the backyard and won't sell one of them because the car's worth $50,000. I'm going to get to that someday. I told my boys, I ever act like that, smack me. I said, it's gone. I ain't holding on to this. I'm going to stop right there. But I want us to start learning who God is. He starts telling them about who he is. But yet they never saw that side. And ever since the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, we haven't saw God as that either. That's what we see. God waiting to smack us. God is not a raging alcoholic who has a mental issue and a temper problem waiting to beat his children. And that's what people think he is. When he says he's vengeful, listen folks, he's not out to hurt you. But he will extract vengeance on those who hurt you. I've told you some things about myself, and some of those people, they didn't live. I didn't kill them. Their own paths led to that. But they did some really bad things. And God, before I even knew him, was looking out for me. Don't think that people are going to just get away with things on you. Pray for them. Pray for them. You need to pray mercy for them so that they can repent. Okay? We'll stop right there on that. God doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to hurt anybody on this planet. That's why he's giving them ample opportunity. If living one more day on this planet meant that maybe 10,000 more people got saved, would it be worth it to you? Now what if God said, how about another 100 years? Oh, absolutely. Because in 100 years, I ain't here. Don't matter. Yep, knock yourself out. I'll be up there with you. Absolutely. And I think that's part of why. He wants as many that can. I don't understand the whole dynamics of whether there's a bank of our spirits up in heaven. I don't know. I don't know how that works. That's one of those mysteries I'm just going to let God reveal to me when I get there. I don't need to. It's just one more thing I don't need bogging me down. I mean, I still struggle sometimes on how anti-lock brakes work. I don't know. All right, let's stand. Take some time this week. You know, you can even go back. If you wrote these down, great. If you didn't, get in your Bible, and I promise you, if you got a concordance, you can look up I Am. Or better yet, probably 99% of you have internet access. Go to BibleGateway.com and type in I Am. And it'll bring up every place. Now, you want to get specific because it'll bring up an I over here and an A over here and an M over here. It takes a lot of filtering. But get in there and start looking. I'm going to start revealing, but the best way to get to know God is personally. Okay? People think they know who I am up here. They have no idea. I'm not always the guy that's up here. Sometimes I'm the frustrated guy. Sometimes I'm the really excited guy. Sometimes I'm the whooped guy. I worked so hard Friday, I went to sleep at 9 o'clock. And y'all know me, that is unheard of. Yeah, that's... But start getting to know who God is. Spend some time talking to him. I'm going to tell you something. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The other morning, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I woke up. I don't remember what time it was, but the sun had come up enough that the sky was beautiful blue. It looked like a painting. I was looking out the door. We have a patio door for a window. And I was looking out through there, and it was open, letting the breeze in. And I just looked down, and I said, Lord, I thank you. It was so beautiful. It was like a painting. The sky was blue. The clouds looked painted on, the trees. And I said, Lord, this is beautiful. Thank you for creating this world. I said, but I'm not going to lie. That flock of crows back there is annoying. 2 seconds later, they were done. Y'all know what crows do this time of year. They don't shut up. I do. Yeah, it's getting about to be hunting season, and crows sit in a tree, and they, hunter, hunter. But God, I believe God silenced those crows for me. Because I was thanking him. I was grateful for something. It was all my neighbor's trees. It was all everything across the street. I was thanking him for that. I'm here to tell you, folks, if you start thanking God for the things, you're going to find him so much more receptive, I guess is the word I'm looking for. You'll get to know him. And you'll know that he is the God that heals. He is the God that delivers. He is the God that stops viruses. Amen? All right. Well, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are truly grateful for all that you are. Father, we know what you will be. Father, help us all to come to know who you are, to know who I am really is. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it reveals who you are, and it also reveals who you aren't. You aren't angry. You aren't waiting to destroy us. You want us to repent. You want us to turn. So, Father, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And now, Father, we also ask for rain. We declare, Father, rain. Father, no floods, rain for the crops. Father, I thank you and praise you that you are working for your people, that you're moving. You're bringing the rain. You're bringing the clouds to bring the rain. Father, we thank you and praise you for that. And now, Lord, I thank you for your people. And I bless them, Lord. I thank you that you're setting your angels round about them, that no harm, no disease, no nothing can come against them without meeting up with you. We thank you that you're our shield. We thank you that you're our fortress. And I bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen.